Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I go to bed with a prayer that you should make love to me.
Strange as it seems.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Someday we'll meet, and you'll dry all of my tears.
I just can't hit that note. Can't hit that note.
Well, most gentlemen couldn't.
Frankie Valli could.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another man in the world that could hit
Frankie
somebody.
Frankie Valli could.
Liberace?
He wasn't really a singer.
Oh, yeah, I was just listing famous bottoms.
Oh.
Freddie Mercury could.
True. It's true. God rest his soul.
Kelly Chase making his debut, presented by Petromart. That's coming your way at 8:30. He's going to be with us every week during this blues season. And at 9 o'clock, John Mazalak will join us. Your emails at 9:45 the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Our text of the day gets two tickets to Masterminds at Werenberg Theaters.
Werenberg.
Have you seen a film recently?
Has anybody seen a film? No, nothing.
Sometimes we... Because we're out in Las Vegas for so long at a time, we don't booze every night. I don't think I got drunk the entire time we were in Las Vegas, now that I think about it. Which is kind of weird, too. But last Wednesday night, Doug, I went to that Yardbird. It's one of my favorite restaurants. There's one in Miami Beach, and there's one in Las Vegas, and I love them.
Yardbird.
Yeah, and so, you know, after you have Yardbird, and it's chicken biscuits, so you're not going to go out
and
booze.
Why don't you bring me back some?
You would love it. You ought to go over there when you guys are down there with the Marlins. I mean, for real, you would love it. But anyway... So go back up to the room, and they usually have movies that are really recently released at some of these hotels, and we went through all the movies, and there just wasn't a damn thing that really intrigued us. We watched the film with the wonderful Mila Kunis and Christina Applegate. Is it Bad Moms? Bad Moms Club or something like that? You saw it, Iggy?
I saw a bootleg copy.
Oh, my word.
Well, you can't spend the $6 to see it?
I haven't been to a movie since Endless Love.
Ryan O'Neill.
I only watched it because of those two.
Mila Kunis and Christine Applegate?
Yeah, I just don't think that kind of comedy with those two.
I felt like she wasn't a good lead.
Yeah.
And I like her. I think she's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they would have both gotten naked, but...
Oh, for heaven's sakes. It is amazing some of the movies that get made for the money that they pour into it and for the smart and creative people that work on them. So much of the subject matter, you just say, eh, no thanks.
But you wonder, too, if you're making a movie, you go in with the best intentions, and for whatever reason, as the movie's getting made, like, I wonder about star actors that make dog films. You know, like, you think it's going to be good, and then midway through, you realize, this is going to be awful, and it's too late. You're already pot committed, as Tim would say. You know what the last movie we got on demand?
What was it?
We wanted to watch something with Tyler, and we couldn't find one that he hadn't seen. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
The wonderful Rick Moranis.
And it was awful. It was absolutely awful. And the technology back then compared to today made it even worse.
I don't know if I'm missing something that I should be watching, because I have a feeling since we're going to be in St. Louis this weekend, I'll probably be watching movies. And I'm trying to figure, but I'm like, God, this is terrible. What the hell happened? Usually there's like a few that you want to see. Maybe I'm just missing something.
It's not a movie, but you need to start watching Shameless.
Maybe we'll just go to shows. Maybe that's the move.
Now, I didn't like the remake, Vacation, but I like Christina Applegate in that because she was kind of funny but dirty. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good combination.
Why don't you go see comedians in Vegas? That's what we do when we have...
Bill Maher he got done with his show in L.A. What time would he be done in L.A.? 8, I guess?
Well, I'm not... privy to his schedule.
Well, no, I mean, the show is live in St. Louis, and it's on at 9 in St. Louis, so therefore it's on at 7 there, and he gets done at 9.
And he shoots to Las
Vegas. Yeah, well, he was performing at the Mirage at 10, and I realized it's a really short flight, and assuming the studios are near, you know, a private airport, I guess theoretically it's possible, but what an effing stretch. And I said to Anna Marie, I said, there's no way he's at 10 at the Mirage. Sure enough, he was at 10 at the Mirage, and he did a show on HBO in L.A. I assume it's in L.A. Right before it. So we were going to go on Saturday because you're kind of bored, and it was sold out. So that's who I would have gone and seen.
He's very fun.
I saw him play the Peabody like in May this year, and it was all right. And I enjoy his humor, but I didn't think it was that great. But I figured he had all kinds of new material since
You know,
then.
You were talking about the political side and how it seems to be conservative works on radio, television seems to be more liberal, comedians too. For whatever reason, even if I totally disagree with them politically, comedians that are liberal tend to be funnier to me. You know, like Bill Maher, I disagree with him. I think he's brilliant and very funny. And then, like, who's the guy that used to be Dennis Miller, I used to enjoy, and then he became like a Fox News contributor conservative.
I loved his show.
I think he
his
lost
show
something.
Was like a huge influence on my life in the 1990s. There was a back to back on HBO, one of the HBOs back in the late 90s. It had to be like 98 because I was still in school at Missouri. And the first half hour at 7 o'clock was the Larry Sanders Show, which for my money is the greatest television show that I have seen, with Gary Shandling and Hank Kingsley, aka Jeffrey Tambor. And then the next half hour was the Dennis Miller Show, and I just was I was in
heaven. Great.
It was outstanding. It was so creative. And then I feel like Miller kind of lost his edge when he went Monday Night Football. That's when I feel like it changed. I don't know if I'm right on that, but that's when I feel like it changed. I'm kind of like, oh, it's like forced references that doesn't jive with the broadcast. And I get what they were trying to do, but I just didn't feel like it worked. And then he kind of went, you know, I don't know what he does. I know he's on O'Reilly often.
He did some stand-ups that would go for an hour or more and just really talking fast and very intellectual stuff. It made you wonder, is he reading this? Is it possible really to remember all that right off
the master
of
the obscure reference.
Yeah. But one that you, like, even if you had to go back and figure out what the reference was, like, he was spot on and brilliant. But I do think comedians that are liberal are funnier. It's just if you can get away from team ideology, for whatever reason, it works in that medium. And I do agree that the more entertaining talk show hosts are conservatives. Even if you disagree with what they're saying, if you're listening for, you know, entertainment or to fill
is
your
Is there
mind,
a liberal
you
know. Radio talk show host that has really taken? Because they tried to do Air America about 12 to 14 years ago, the wonderful Janine Garofalo. But it never really took. Is there? And I'm asking. This isn't a. I challenge you. I don't give an F. I'm asking.
I'm sure there's some that are doing okay, but never crossed over into that star realm. And
I don't know.
I can think
if someone like Rachel Maddow or Chris Matthews. But do they have radio shows?
I don't know if they do.
But
I don't
even if they do, and they may well, it doesn't mean that that's their main thing. I mean, they're known for TV. I'm talking about people that have generated interest. And huge ratings.
I think probably talk radio is more geared toward an older crowd, and an older crowd would tend to be more conservative than liberal, and maybe that's got something to do with it.
Didn't Glenn Beck start his own? He brought in Dana Lash and some other people.
The Blaze, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a television network. I don't know if it's available in a ton of places. I know his website from The Blaze does, from what I read anyway, does well, but I think, I mean, he was just getting sued, I read. By one of his founding partners, so he's got all kind of problems today.
Now, there's liberal podcasts, for certain, but as far as mass media, you know, like I listen to Keeping It 1600. I was listening to that on my way out here today, as a matter of fact, which is, I guess, part of Bill Simmons' podcast network. Chris Vernon, who I'm a huge fan of, St. Louis guy, went to Parkway Central. I think he's like a year younger than me. Do you know who he is, Iggy? You familiar with him?
He's in Memphis,
because
right?
he was an intern at KFNS in the late 90s, and I didn't know that. But I've been talking to Vernon. I would have loved to have brought him up here.
Yeah, he's pretty
Fun
big in Memphis.
Well, yeah, but then there was a parting of the ways at the end of August, and now he's working for Simmons doing a podcast, and he's doing stuff with the Grizzlies, too. Super talented guy.
He is.
Super talented guy. I'd love to have him here.
I think Doug should do a podcast. I really do.
Well, I can't wait to do a podcast. Seamaster and I have been talking about it for a while, but I want to get this operation up and running, and then make our move to Kirkwood. And then I think I'm going to have a studio in my office. So when the Seamaster says, so-and-so's on the line, I go, all right, pot them up. Let's go. Let's talk this over. That's what I'll say. Let's talk. Let's talk this over.
You got to say it 3 or 4 times.
Right. That's kind of my trademark thing.
Yeah, but get the low-fitting caps worked out first.
Yeah, that's so I got things to take care of.
Yeah.
And this bout with Timber Fake and Ryan
Dollars
Kelly.
And nonsense.
The Wow.
Say
I
it.
Like
Plazzi,
that.
Say it. So let's hear you say it.
Dollars and nonsense.
Nice. That voiceover. Do some voiceover work, Plowhawk.
Mm-hmm. When you do your podcast, will you be one of those guys? I'm not putting you into these categories, but you can cuss. Will you be one of those guys? Because I remember when Stern went to Sirius, he MF'd almost every 2 seconds because he knew he could.
I didn't think he did.
And I think they had a conversation where he even said, just because I can cuss, I'm going to stop. Because I think he said, I felt like the first few times I cussed too much because I knew I could.
I actually would be worried about it because for whatever reason, somehow there's a filter once the little red light goes on here and we start and I don't cuss and I don't know how I don't, but I don't. That if I started doing on the podcast, then somehow that might translate over to the terrestrial radio stuff.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think all of us, I mean, Doug, I don't know if you curse, but I mean, in my real life, I'll curse from time to time.
Not all that often, though.
But I mean, in your regular everyday, it sneaks in there. And do you curse sometimes in regular?
Doug doesn't really
not
either.
A lot. Not a lot.
Doug doesn't either.
Not a lot. But I'm using into scripture reading, like, that kind of thing.
But on the air, no. And like that, you have this, like you said, it's like a filter.
Like a built-in idea why, but I would worry. I think that's a valid point. Because we always have the delay button. But I don't know why. I don't know if I would, Iggy. I don't think I would, and that's my reasoning. But maybe I would.
I like
when a guest cusses. It's a good thing. You know why? At least this is my belief.
Because they feel relaxed.
Because they're relaxed.
Yeah.
And so you know you're in a good spot.
I think you would just be yourself. And if it came out, it came out. But you wouldn't go out of your way to, you know, drop an MF just because you know you can.
No, I don't. That's not.
But if you have that built-in thing and then you put it on hold for a podcast.
Right. And then I
sit
here.
Does it go away?
Right. Yeah. I wonder about that. Because I've been lucky that I somehow don't. And I don't know why. Because once we go to commercial break, I'm in here doing Carlin's routine. Guys, does Doug still have the podcast dollars for dongs? Thanks. I shaved my balls for this. You did a podcast called Dollars for
Dongs.
I
have no idea what that meant, Tim. I have no clue what that meant.
And when I say you should do a podcast.
I don't do a podcast.
You should, but nothing like that. Something wholesome.
Guys, I think it's hot when broads curse. Thanks.
Well, why would that be hot?
You'll have to ask the texter.
Well, who was the texter? Brady's phone number.
Stephen Wildwood.
Oh, okay. Steve.
You ever thought about doing a podcast? People love you.
No, I don't have a podcast.
No, have you thought about it?
No.
I know you don't.
Do any like TV stations have anchors or reporters podcasting locally?
I don't think so. No, not that I know of.
I'm sorry. I probably just gave somebody an idea, and all of a sudden it'll be extra.
Here's the idea. I'm going to talk for three hours after you. But, Doug, think about it. Think out of the box. You call it Doug's Doozies, and then you do the highlights of the week knowing that it's just a podcast. There's no video, and you describe the great plays.
That's not a bad idea.
Huh?
Just describe
Doug's Doozies.
I don't
Here's
like
a drive by Connor Gillespie, and it's gone.
Right. Wow. That's a big hit right there. And then you go on to the net. Look at this play by the center fielder up and over the wall. How did he do that?
That was radio in the 1930s where the ticker tape comes and then you broadcast. Like, that's what Ronald Reagan's first job was.
I think the older folks find your voice comforting and
sure.
You'd be like a little time capsule for them.
Yeah.
Doug's Doozies. The plays you didn't get to see, you won't see here.
Okay.
I'd like to make that part of our podcasting network.
Doug's Doozies.
Yep.
Where I'll be broadcasting off a box score. Just make up things that happen.
Yes.
That actually could be good entertainment. Maybe for like 2 minutes at a time, but still good entertainment.
Hilarious. Yep. Did you see that fracas in the game the other day? These two guys don't like each other. Wow.
I don't even notice this stuff anymore, which I suppose is a good thing. It's kind of like when Michael Sam came out and people are like, ideally at some point, nobody will really even give a damn when somebody says, yeah, I'm gay or I'm a lesbian, who cares? So the lady's name is Jessica Mendoza, is that correct? Who does the broadcast with Dan Shulman?
Yes.
And
she was on the call last night?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, an Astros minor leaguer by the name of Brooks Marlowe, and you have to wonder if there's a relation, tweeted out, no lady needs to be on ESPN talking during a baseball game, especially Mendoza. Sorry. So the Astros have had that tweet taken down.
He was a minor leaguer?
Yeah.
He thought that would be good for his career.
didn't we interview her here last week?
Yeah, she was here when Tim was off.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I was about to say, for real, I think she's outstanding.
So do I.
I think she's outstanding. I think Doris Burke is outstanding. I don't even think anything of it. I mean, it doesn't even cross my mind. I suppose the first time you heard like Pam Ward doing a college football game, I was like, well, it's a little different. But that was like 20 years ago. But I think she's outstanding. I really do. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that I'm trying to be politically correct and I'll say something good about a woman broadcasting. I just think she's really good. I don't even think about it.
And she works her ass off. Have you ever seen her when she's here covering a game for the Cardinals? she's in the dugout talking to Matheny, Mabry, Lilliquist. I mean, everybody. So she's got all that information. She's not just showing up 5 minutes before the game. She's working her butt off 3-4 hours before.
Well, it shouldn't make a difference anyway. Right?
To Brooks Marlowe, it does.
And when if someone comes out, I agree. I think to myself, good for you. Doesn't really make a difference. And hopefully we get to the point where it doesn't matter.
Brooks Marlowe, Astros minor leaguer.
You think that's Charlie's cousin?
You have to wonder.
It could be his brother.
Marlowe deleted the tweet, and the Astros issued a statement apologizing to Jessica Mendoza and saying that they'd spoken to Marlowe, who agreed the tweet was bad.
Good. Done. Let's have one.
We have communicated with the player who agreed that his tweet was inappropriate and insensitive and has since apologized. We apologize to Ms. Mendoza, who's an outstanding broadcaster that we've had the pleasure of working with this season.
Yeah. Well, some of the Marlins are loose cannons.
What team will that guy be with next year?
I don't know his background as
a player. I haven't seen his numbers. I don't know. He may still be with the Astros. If he wasn't a pretty good player, he might have got cut right then.
See, that's another thing for your podcast. Like, you could have a sidekick and go, Doug, what do you think of this player? And you could say, I haven't got his numbers.
I suppose I could make them up if we're going to make up everything else. He's hitting about 275, occasional power. Likes to go to the opposite field. Strikes out a little bit too much. There.
You got to get with him.
There's your scouting report.
How to foul off pitches.
29th round selection by the Astros in 2015.
Where is he from? Is he from Ohio?
He looks like he's from Austin, Texas. That's
you can tell enough by the look of a gentleman that he's from Austin, Texas. That's interesting. Keep Austin weird. You ever get down to Austin, Doug?
I have never been to Austin.
Really?
I'd like to go. I heard that it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be maybe the best college town in America.
255, six home runs, 31 ribbies, and looks to be 56 games for Brooks Marlowe.
Yeah. He's working on using the entire field because he was a dead pole hitter in high school. Mm-hmm. And I liked his power. He showed occasional power in the high school, and I figured that he would fill out a little mature as a player, as a hitter. And if he can start using the entire field and not just want to pull every pitch selection, fellas, if he can do that, he's likely to climb the ladder. I do like the kid.
I like that he hits through the baseball. That's the key. You got to hit through the baseball. Mm-hmm. You know that.
The thing I would say to Marlowe is pitch selection.
Nice take.
Actually, Doug, you might be completely wrong on that. I read last year's stat. This is this year's hitting .205 with six home runs, 45 ribbies.
He's trying to pull
the greatest.
That's all she wrote anyway.
He's on his way to brokering time in an AM station somewhere.
Yeah, this is why I cite pitch selection as his big Achilles heel.
I think he's pissed off because she was a better hitter than he is.
Mm.
It's no secret that Hollywood blockbuster 50 Shades of Grey and the impending release of 50 Shades Darker sequel has sparked our interest in the 6-for-4 deal acronym Bondage, Discipline, Dominance, Submission, Sadism, and Masochism, also known as BDSM. It has become a gateway for sexual experimentation among couples of all ages, steering them away from the conventional vanilla sex. Now, a study published in the journal Psychology of Consciousness, Theory, Research, and Practice suggests BDSM not only adds novelty to the bedroom, it can make us more mindful partners in bed. The intensity and pain associated with BDSM is presumed to do everything but induce stress. However, BDSM is more than just kinky sex. Some practices can enhance our psychological well-being and even have anti-anxiety effects and other mental health benefits. Doug, in other words, let's get whipped.
Yeah, no thanks. Now, what are you reading that from?
Not Iggy. The Sea Monster sent that link over. He's sneaky vile.
Boy, is he ever.
My problem with this is, what if the couple tries this, and you got to buy the whole kit, you know? You got to get the whip, got to get the handcuffs.
There's a kit for this?
I'm sure you can go to, like, Patricia's, and you can get yourself a little...
Patsy's.
Little kit. And how do you return those said items? You know, you spend a few $100
That might just need to be a write-off.
Yeah.
You can't return stuff like that, can you?
You tried, bro?
No, I'm just asking, if you do try this fetish and you don't like it, are you down $200-$300 for the whip and the massage oil and the handcuffs and things like that?
You think that costs $200-$300?
I think the kit's pretty big. I'm just naming off a couple basic items. I'm sure they have some advanced tools that I can't think of at the top of my head.
Mr. Gray had advanced tools.
No.
Previous research had found giving or receiving pain can alter blood flow in the brain and lead to a feeling of living in the here and now while reducing anxiety. But now researchers at Northern Illinois University add further evidence that BDSM creates an altered state of mind. Participants in a study who practiced BDSM showed reduced levels of stress, better mood, and a higher level of flow or energized focus.
Okay, that's nonsense.
Here's an idea.
I got whipped, so now I feel like I'm living in the here and now.
If you want to find a healthy way to live in the here and now, go to Salt and Smoke, get the brisket. Right? Don't you feel like?
Yes. I have to tell you, that sounds better.
Right?
And I'm a good pervert, and I'm pro human nature as the day is long. But that's just not something that does it for me. I have to be honest.
The brisket
with you.
Does.
The brisket absolutely does. Mm-hmm.
You go there and you're like, I'm living in the here and now.
Right. Do you ever find yourself saying, boy, I sure am living 17 years ago.
Hey, what does that mean?
I don't know. It's some writer trying to come up with some reason why this is a good thing. That's all that it is. And wasn't the movie a big flop?
Yeah, I don't think it did too well. Boy, we watched it and I was just like, this is awful.
I just think people...
I thought it was a flop.
People are looking for something to give their life some meaning or something. You got to, I guess, find that. For me, it's the brisket, I guess.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I get that. Iggy, hedonism, is that a thing? Is the BDSM thing a thing?
You see the outfits. I mean, I don't know if, I'm sure it happens in the
rooms.
Like
a guy topless but just wearing a leather vest and a visor?
Yeah, it's like you have costume nights and girls will come with the dominatrix and the guy will have a chain around his neck and she'll be leading him through the dining room.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and he's probably living in the here and now.
He is. Now, I'm as liberal as it comes to sexual activities. I mean, I'll try anything. But that's something I won't try. I don't
what
get...
What part? The visor and the chain?
Being whipped.
What's the visor? I mean, this guy's going to deal poker later in the night?
Ooh, now I am interested.
I just have no interest in being whipped. I don't know. Just like guys that like to be humiliated, you know, if you watch the videos and lick my boot. Yes, mistress. I mean, why do you want to be treated like that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, I don't get that. It works, and to each their own, doesn't affect me, but the psychology of that, I wonder what that's.
We can't get too detailed, but we can say he prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, I mean,
we support it.
To be on the show, I think there's an element of that, right? Don't you feel some way you're humiliated just by sitting in that
That's
chair
right.
every day?
Yeah.
And you take it. You sit there and take it.
You know what? Because this show puts us in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important.
Doug, yeah. I'm really stressed. Tie me up and go to town. It's from Butch Patrick's werewolf doll.
You know, he's been suspended. Butch Patrick's werewolf doll just got himself suspended because of that text, and he'll serve a suspension to last a period of 2 days' time. Thanks, Llewellyn's, for the logule.
Well, that 7-year-old woman in New York that we had on when we were on the remote that time that allegedly had this big business. Doug, there is a market for that, I guess.
There's a market for anything. If you've got just one country that's got over 300 million people in it, you're going to find people that like anything you could possibly imagine. Doesn't mean there's a lot of people, but there'll be some.
So this makes you more interested in my podcast idea for you?
Not so much, no.
Tim will build a studio in your house.
You want that, baby? You want that?
What do you need a studio? Don't you just need a microphone? Aren't you just kind of talking into a recorder?
Yeah, but you want to be in the here and now.
All right.
Microphone check 1, 2. What is this? That's pretty cool.
Kelly Chase coming up, and the big fight, dollars and nonsense. A lot of people are excited.
Yeah, the Inside STL News team will be covering it today. Lunch coming up. And the Inside STL News team of Hannah Ray Yates, Michael Gaines, and Brendan Marks will be all over this summit.
You got to get credentials for this news team. And everywhere they should go, the reporter needs to wear a fedora that says press on it. And they all need to have credentials dangling around their neck. Everywhere they go.
Inside STL News team. John Mozeliak's coming up at 9 o'clock. Your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Blues Blackhawks tickets for Saturday. And the Blues icebreaker event at Ballpark Village is next Wednesday as they open the regular season against the Blackhawks. First home game next Thursday against the Wild. For 50th anniversary season information, go to stlouisblues.com. One of the things we are doing here on this radio station, and I'm looking forward to it, our audience loves when he is on the show. Every week from here until the end of the playoff run, whenever that might be, Doug, and you've got it ending on June 9th with a chalice,
mm-hmm.
Kelly Chase is going to join us, and he is brought to you by Petromart.
Hey, Blues fans, it's time to drop your gloves and face off on the St. Louis Blues Report with Kelly Chase. Fueled by Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues. Now, here's Chaser.
About the Seamaster production staff, which is the Seamaster. But I'll tell you what, I like hearing that because it takes me back to playoff hockey, which takes me back to May, which puts me in a good spot because it means we have 5-6 months of good weather, and the Blues are on the verge of making a run. But now here we are, Doug, on the threshold of another campaign. Blues 2016-17 season opening up in 6 days, and it'll be our pleasure to be joined by Kelly Chase every week this year. And here's his first appearance presented by Petromart. Text Petro to 20300 now to win a pair of VIP tickets to the Blues Icebreaker event at Ballpark Village on October 12th. 20300 is the number, and you text Petro to 20300 to win a pair of VIP tickets to the Blues Icebreaker event at Ballpark Village on October 12th, sponsored by Petromart. Standard message and data rates may apply. Only one entry per person. Chaser, good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. What an introduction. I was hoping for a little Kenny Wilson. Oh, baby, can he go? But I didn't get it. You know, we'll take the horn instead, whatever.
We did have Tommy Calhoun, though, on the call. You like that, Doug?
That's right.
The voiceman.
Don't call him Tommy.
What's wrong with
Tom Calhoun?
He wasn't announcing one of my goals.
Chaser, we're looking forward to having you on every week this season, presented by Petromart. Always fired up for it. One of the things when we said we were having you on, people said, well, what is his opinion of the team going into this year? Because there wasn't a whole lot done in the offseason as far as an addition goes, but there were some people taking off for other teams. And so I think there's some nervous anticipation of what's to come with the Blues not having some of those core players that were a part of the run to the Western Conference Finals a few months ago.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, to be a little nervous. I am as well. I think there's nothing you could do about the guys you lost, to be honest with you, because truthfully, you had to step up and pay the guys that are here. And so Schwartz had to be paid. Couldn't afford to let him walk. You have Alex Steen, who just got under contract. So when you start talking about Petro and you know, just signed Tarasenko last year, it changes the dynamic with the cap. You couldn't pay David Backes the amount of money that David Backes got from Boston. And I don't believe Troy Brouwer will ever have a run like he had in the playoffs again. He's exactly what Calgary needed, so they could afford to overpay him. Whereas the St. Louis Blues, they didn't have the luxury. So Army did a masterful job, I think, of balancing the books. Now it's a matter of how you can get the intangibles to work. One of the things, I'm telling you, one of the things, this is the last name that's always brought up. We talk about Elliott leaving. Okay, it's Jake Allen-Seaman, and nobody talks about Steve Ott leaving the team. And I've been in locker rooms, and I know how important certain guys are. There's little mechanisms that always make engines go, and he was one of those mechanisms. He made guys accountable from the top players down to the, you know, the guys he played with on his line with Uppy and Brodziak and Reavers. So Steve Ott was a guy that was made guys accountable. And there's, in my opinion, there's certain types of guys that make you like that. And sometimes a lot of them are concentrating on the top of their game. The Alex Steen making you accountable in a different way. The Pietrangelo making you accountable in a different way. But there's guys that think it through, that are role players and have played both on the top six as a player and then the bottom six that are important to your team. And he was one of those guys. And I think it's I watched the Chicago game the other day and nobody responded to the big hit for Ratty. And it bothered me. And I sent a tweet out and I understand it didn't reflect well, but I just said I can already see they miss a guy like Ott. So it'll be interesting to see who picks up that role because it's there.
You know, you talk about the toughness and some of the guys that left when they had that push into the postseason and a really nice run. It was Brouwer just fighting his way to the goal. It was Backes, you know, standing in front and taking the punishment. And, you know, that was what they said they needed to have some success in the postseason. Those guys did it. Those guys are missing. Do you think this team will have a different style, or is it just up to other guys to try to play those roles?
Well, I think, you know, they'll have to have a different style a little bit. But, again, what do you do about it? Like, it's easy to say, well, those guys were the guys that made us effective, but like, what can you do about it? You couldn't sign them. You couldn't give them the money that they were commanding in the market. So, you know, you have to step aside and say, you know, here they go. And, you know, I'm sure Army tried to do other things, but it has to fit under a cap that, you know, is you know, one of those things that you have to, you look back at it and you go, okay, could I have given this guy a little less money? And, you know, and there really isn't. You're squeezing pennies around, you know, to try and make everybody fit under a margin that you know that gives you some success. But the truth is you couldn't give those guys the type of money, especially the term that they commanded.
Now, they brought in David Perron. I would think he's going to be facing some pressure with people saying, you know, we lost Backus and Brouwer, and Perron was the answer. He needs to score more. What kind of season do you expect from him this year? Oh, you there?
There we go.
Oh, okay. I was asking about David Perron, and there might be some pressure on him as the new guy coming in trying to replace at least some of the scoring from Backus and Brouwer. What kind of season do you expect from Perron?
Well, he's matured a lot since he left here the first time. I think David's warts are that sometimes he has a tendency to hang on to the puck too long. And I think if he can, you know, get into the role of, you know, playing a small game with his line mates, he's really effective because he's really strong on the puck. He's gifted with his hands. And again, he's matured a lot too. So I think that there are expectations that they're going to need out of David. He's a guy that gives them some balanced scoring. But the one thing that I haven't seen yet at training camp here is a young guy that's really stood out. Again, it's a different atmosphere than it used to be, but there's nobody that's a younger guy that's really grabbed the bull by the horns and said, I want to stay here. Last year, Robbie Fabry did that. Pareko did that. Edmondson did that. This year, I watched every game but the one in Washington, and it was on TV, so I watched portions of it. It was on NHL Network. But nobody stood out at all and really said, okay, I'm going to make a difference this year. So I'm sure that the Blues are saying, okay, you know, we need to find some depth within. They let go of Porter. They let go of Nystrom, who added a little bit of a grit to it as well. So, you know, they're you know, hung up a little bit with contracts, and what you see is kind of what you get out of the group right now. So someone's going to have to fill in and step up, and David will be one of those guys.
Fabry was so good last year. So many big goals for a young guy to play with the poise that he did. What are your expectations from him for this season, and what's the upside with a talented young guy like that?
I think he's one of the most gifted players offensively on the team. I mean, he's competitive. He's out there. He's feisty. You know, he protects himself. You know, he's not afraid to go at guys. And I like that about him. You know, he doesn't shy away from, you know, the areas where, you know, sometimes it's going to be hard to go into. Sometimes you're going to get cross-checked and hit maybe a little bit sideways or a little bit from behind. He gets in there and plays that role really well. I just think Robbie's going to have a fantastic year, and this is exactly he's one of those guys. The expectations are greater for, you know, you tease them a little bit with your success, and they're going to expect it to be to grow. There's got to be a growth out of them, and I think that when I look at that way that kid performs, and I look at the way he goes about, I don't want to say swagger or cockiness, but I'll give you an example. When Agostini got an opportunity for his third goal the other night, Robbie Fabry actually went over because he scored, you know, right away. His second goal, they gave it to Fabry, and he might even have touched it. But Fabry went over to the officials and the kid and said, go tell him you got the goal, I didn't touch it. Because he wanted him to have the hat trick, so they'd announce it. Unfortunately, our staff upstairs couldn't quite figure it out. It's an exhibition game. No, we think Robbie touched it. He's basically saying, who cares if I touched it? Give this kid a hat trick in an exhibition game. Wouldn't that be great? And I'm standing between the benches, and I said something to the linesman, and he goes, I'll go tell them again. I said to him, I said, did he say that he didn't touch the puck? Basically, give this kid a chance to have a little glory in exhibition. Robbie Fabry took it upon himself to recognize it, say something to the officials, and try and get a young guy, actually a guy that's older than him, a hat trick, but being a rookie. And I just thought it was a real sign of maturity for a kid to recognize that. And those are the types of things that I think he's only going to grow on.
And what about the goaltending situation? I'm sure we expect Allen to get most of the work, but how has Carter Hutton looked to you?
I think he's been fantastic. Carter, as far as the shots he's seeing and the hardest amount of work, he's had the most amount of work of everybody from a tough standpoint. I mean, he's had to, really see some shots and see some rubber that the other guys haven't had. So I think that's a comforting situation for the coaching staff as well, because no matter what happens with Jake, you know, whether it's an injury or whatever, they know they can put Carter in there. And you know, again, you know, the growth of the team, depends always on your goaltending. You can get confidence off of a few saves here and there and maybe make some mistakes. You guys all know how strong the defense is for St. Louis. The question mark really becomes is, you know, I think Jake's the number one guy, so that kind of alleviates a little of the pressure. But the other thing is what's going to happen up front? Who's really going to be the dynamic guy? You know, they don't know what they have. They're still banking on Sobota. I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
It was good to see Steen back apparently ahead of schedule, but Schwartz has the elbow thing. For a guy that, so many of the hopes are pinned on with Jaden, how much will that set them back not having him healthy in the early going?
Well, I think, it's a four-week injury, and unfortunately for him, not what he wanted, and it happened to get a practice. So, he's disappointed, certainly, but you got to remember, we're still a week of exhibition season, and he's been out. So he was not going to be out like he was in the last injury. And as far as Steen goes, well, Steen could have probably played in the World Cup. He trained that hard. He took a trainer home with him to Sweden. He had a guy there for a month at a time that worked with him 4 and 5 hours a day. And he immediately went to work on strength, which is not necessarily how we do things with our North American doctors. And he went against kind of the system and feels like his shoulder has never been stronger. And so for that, I commend him, because everyone knows from a physical standpoint, Alex is one of those guys that, he leads the team when it comes to conditioning and setting a tone for guys. So, he's one of the leaders for a reason. One of them is that his conditioning is the best on the team.
There's never been a Vaughn on the Blues before, but they have Scooter Vaughn, the younger brother, on the roster now. How's he doing? Does he have a shot to make it?
Scooter Vaughn lived at Jason's house with play for the St. Louis Bandits. How about that?
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
And he's a heck of a player, too, isn't he?
Won a national championship and went on to Michigan, played for Brett Berenson, and is now with the Chicago Wolves.
And so, pretty...
when you get down there, Doug, you'll be able to see the real lot.
Yeah. We don't cover a lot of Wolves games, but maybe we will this year. I got to keep up with Scooter.
Got to keep up with Scooter. Yeah.
Oh, sounds like we're losing you. Are you in a wind tunnel now?
Waterfall, I believe a waterfall.
No, I'm actually, it's a waterfall. It's right. It's pouring rain. I'm driving back from the game last night in Kansas City. I had some visits there, so I spent the night, and I am active. It's up and down the way. On the I-70.
Yeah. Really? I didn't know it was supposed to rain.
I didn't either.
I had no idea.
Clear as a bell, huh?
Yeah.
Well, safe travels.
Bell, huh?
Go ahead, sir.
Clear as a bell. All right. I will touch base with you guys soon.
All right, time.
Kelly Chase with us, brought to you by Petromart. Thank you, Chaser.
All right, fellas. I'm about 10 miles away from getting to the station. Come for
Yeah, we couldn't.
Sounds like he's driving through the hurricane.
Just be safe. Tuffy McTufferson.
And there's a close, and I'm pointing at the plow hog.
Hit the lever.
That was your Blues Report with Kelly Chase, fueled by Petromart. Now text Petro to 20300 to win a pair of VIP tickets to the Blues Icebreaker event at Ballpark Village on October 12th, fueled by Petromart. Standard message and data rates may apply. One entry per person, and you must be 18 to enter. And remember to stop by any of the locally owned and operated Petromart locations to fuel your day. Petromart, clean, fast, and friendly.
Kelly Chase, our guest here, brought to you by Petromart, will be with us every week of the upcoming Blues season. John Mozeliak's going to be with us coming up at 9 o'clock here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You are welcome to text in 855-CUB-TALK. You're welcome to email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Two tickets to the Blues and Blackhawks is the prize for our email today. So send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Don't forget that the Wheelhouse is a great place to hang out for your college football on Saturday, your NFL football on Sunday. The Wheelhouse, downtown St. Louis. Producer Joe, Jared from the Wheelhouse, and I will be making our picks for the Wheelhouse Picks of the Week on InsideSTL.com. And we will also do that tomorrow here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Wow.
That's about all you can say when you think about us actually picking.
Doug, when we were close the other night after dinner, you said, boy, your face is so smooth. And I said, oh, that's the Harry's razors. Harry's five-blade razors are a difference maker, and I've been enjoying them for the last month. And they make it so easy to shave. I mean, it is so easy. It truly is. You don't even worry about nicks or cuts anymore. Harry's five-blade razors now include softer flex hinge for a more comfortable glide, trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places, lubricating strip, textured handle for more control when it's wet. Still just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more, which you'll pay at the drugstore. By owning the factory in Germany where they make the blades, Harry's can produce high-quality razors themselves and sell them online for half the price. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, five-blade card, and shaving gel. Get your free trial set when you subscribe. Just pay $3 for shipping. Plus, a special offer for our listeners. Enter the code INSIDESTL at checkout to get a post-shave balm for free with your order. Go to HARRYS.com, Harry's.com right now, and enter code INSIDESTL at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's Harry's.com, code INSIDESTL. Doug, get it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I should try that myself, even though I don't have a very tough beard.
How about this story that just came out? Richard Deitch, friend of the show, just posted within the last 20 minutes, as a matter of fact. Fascinating story regarding a friend of the show, Joe Buck. Fox Sports announcer Joe Buck feared for his broadcasting career 5 years ago when he suffered a paralyzed left vocal cord. Now, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Joe talked about it quite a bit. He was really legitimately worried. The ailment struck him a few weeks before the start of the 2011 baseball season, and it wasn't until October of that year that he truly felt his voice was back. At the time, Buck told people that he had developed a virus in the laryngeal nerve.
Laryngeal nerve.
Thank you.
Laryngeal nerve.
Of his left vocal cord.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a lie.
Wasn't.
This is the story of what really happened, revealed for the first time here on SI.com and explored in more detail in his upcoming memoir, Lucky Bastard, My Life, My Dad, and the Things I'm Not Allowed to Say on TV. The book will be released on November 15th. You can pre-order using the link here on SI.com, and was written with Sports Illustrated senior writer Michael Rosenberg. As a young man, one of Buck's overwhelming fears was losing his hair, and the possibility soon consumed him. So, at age 24, in October of 1993, he flew to New York City to get his first hair replacement treatment. He writes that after the procedure, quote, I, Joseph Francis Buck, became a hair plug addict. Buck said that whenever he had a break in his schedule, usually between the end of the NFL season and the start of the baseball season, he'd fly to New York to have a plug procedure. Quote, broadcasting's brutal, often unfair business where looks are valued more than skill. I was worried that if I lost my hair, I would lose my job. Okay, that's bull s. It was vanity, pure vanity. I just told myself I was doing it for TV. A few weeks before the start of the baseball season in 2011, Buck underwent his eighth hair replacement procedure. But something went wrong during the six-hour-plus procedure. When he woke up from the anesthetic, Buck could not speak.
He believes his vocal cord was paralyzed because of a cuff the surgery center used to protect him during the procedure. A doctor not part of the operation theorized to Buck that the cuff probably got jostled during the procedure and sat on the nerve responsible for firing his left vocal cord. Buck was also going through personal stress at the time as his marriage to his high school sweetheart was ending. That stress, Buck theorizes, could have made him more susceptible to nerve damage. Panic. Buck sought a voice specialist at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis, Dr. Bruce H. Hawey, who told him he had a paralyzed vocal cord. There was no guarantee on when his voice would come back. Given his embarrassment over what had happened, Buck lied to his bosses, to the media, and to friends. He told people the virus and that his voice would come back. I was too scared and embarrassed to tell the truth, but I'm doing it now. In an interview on Wednesday with SI.com, Buck further explained why it was so important for him to reveal publicly this episode in his life. Quote, when I started thinking about writing a book, that was the main reason why. It wasn't about stories with my dad. I wanted to detail a time in my life where I had a lot going on and I was stressed, a time when I started to take antidepressants and was going through a divorce. Then I had this situation with my voice that rocked me to my knees and shook every part of my world. I'm 47 years old now and willing to be vulnerable sharing a story. Whether the book is read by one person or 1 million doesn't concern me. Getting this out and being honest, really telling my story, that was the impetus behind this. Hmm. How about that fun fact for No One Tell? It's on SI.com.
He's a brave guy, and I admire him for coming out and saying things like that.
Because
you put yourself up to some ridicule. People will make fun of the hair plugs,
from what
course.
He said, though, it seems like he's doing it to get it off his chest.
No.
Yeah. So good for him.
And he didn't have to. It's none of our business. I didn't realize they put you completely under for that.
Yeah, I didn't think that was the case. I don't know.
Maybe it's changed since then.
What exactly is a cuff? He said he had a cuff on his left vocal cord. I guess I don't get it.
A cuff is like you have at the end of your sleeve button.
I don't think that was affecting his vocal cord.
But you acknowledge you don't know that.
It is hard to imagine that somebody who appears to have everything going for him, making a great salary, doing the jobs that people dream of doing, and about the best in the world at it, could still feel vulnerable and, you know, depressed somehow. Depressed,
well,
feeling a lot of stress. You just don't think the people at the very top of any business are going to have the same feelings that the rest of us do.
But they do. And you can have everything in the world, and that doesn't mean you don't have problems.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has problems, I assume. I mean, some people are better off. Some people have the means to address problems that other people don't, but I'm sure everyone has problems.
Mm. Yeah, and to think that he might lose his job because he was thinning hair,
that was in 93.
Yeah. So he was a really young guy then. You could see how anybody would be really sensitive to it in your
20s. I got on Propecia at age 21.
Did you really?
Yep.
Well, yeah, anybody at that age is going to be terribly self-conscious about it. You can understand.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that, although at the time, white guys weren't shaving their heads. It was that at that time I was in the journalism school, and I knew what I was going to be doing, and I knew the hair thing was a real thing. And I still think it is. It's not as much, because white dudes can shave their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they couldn't then, but it wasn't an acceptable look.
Yul Brynner was about the only guy.
Yeah. King and I.
Baron right? von Roschke.
Westworld. His finest work. He's a robot.
Ben-Hur.
Was he bald? He was. That was Charlton Heston, right?
But still.
Yul Brynner, I think, was probably in that. That was the kind of movie he'd be in. Yul Brynner and Baron von Roschke, those were the only two white guys I knew that shaved their head completely back then.
Alvin Adams.
He didn't.
Yeah, I think.
No, he didn't.
Kojak.
Telly Savalas.
Oh, yeah, there's another
brother.
One. There's
Telly Savalas.
Who loves you, baby?
That's right.
Yeah, there's three right there.
And Alvin Adams.
Alvin Adams didn't.
Jim Abbott's Good Hand asks, is Doug's five head what has kept him from reaching that next level of broadcasting?
Quite possibly. At some point, you reach the age where you go, I don't care.
Doug, people love you for you. It gets back to not shaming people. People love you for who you are.
Yeah.
That's why you should do that podcast.
Guys, I've been going bald since I was 19. I decided to start shaving my head, and it was the best decision of my life. No more hair complex. That's from the 314. Yeah, but in broadcasting, I get it, man. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. I totally do. That's why I took the Propecia, and then I stopped taking it in 2006 after I turned down a TV job in Denver
And it was worse,
like,
right?
And yeah, and it was like $90 a month, which is, you know, it's material.
Yeah.
I mean, that adds up over the course of a year. You're talking, you know, 1,000 plus. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do TV anymore. I don't want to do it. Got a decent thing going here with the radio. So why even do it? And I had a full head of hair when I went out and interviewed in Denver in February of 06. I stopped taking it. Then I decided, oh, I'll grow my hair back in August of 06. And like it, nothing came out. Not nothing, but it sure as hell wasn't as thick as it was. So if you're taking Propecia, you want to keep your hair, do not stop. They don't advertise it anymore. I don't know what that's about. You used to see those spots all the time?
Maybe there are better treatments out there.
I don't know.
Maybe everybody knows about it who's interested in it, and they can save the millions in advertising.
Guys, I'm not going bald, but I shaved my head because Tim does. Thanks.
Of course. Of course you did.
You look great, Tim.
But you don't see many people at the network level that are bald. Vern Lundquist comes to mind.
Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
He's doing
There's
right.
not many of them. You really don't see many politicians, even.
Lou Grant.
I mean, you look back at the presidents we've had, almost all of them have had a nice head of
hair. What about I Like Ike?
It didn't matter with Ike. Ike could just save the world. And it wasn't a television culture back then.
John F. Kennedy was thinning.
No, he wasn't. No, he was not.
Sinead O'Connor.
She has never been the president.
She was vice president.
Ford was kind of bald, but again, that was a different, he didn't get elected. Tim Kaine was a little thin the other night. Of all the candidates, he's the only one that's the least bit follically challenged.
Oh, so here you're going to bash Tim Kaine now.
No, I'm just saying that normally you don't see
Mike Pence
people
has
in
a
politics
thick, lush
bald.
Head of hair.
Yeah, he does.
He also has the textbook way where you look like you're laughing at your opponent, but also still maintaining a look of calm and kindness. When someone's ripping you to sit there and just get that little smile, like, there you go again. He had that down. Mm-hmm.
I love your bald head, Tim. Never change. It's too big for my britch. Well, I'm glad you do, because it can't change. Like, it can't change.
Well, you've got more up there than you let on.
I shave my balls every day. Does that count? Thanks. Mm.
Was that from you, or was that another one of the texters?
It was from Coach Tim.
Okay.
Tim, you're 40 now.
I am.
Doug, you're up there, too. I'm up there. What we look like now, people, it doesn't matter.
I shave only my left nutsack if the cards win.
Okay, even newspaper people are concerned about their looks.
John Mozeliak's going to be with us here on the other side of the break. The Ryan Kelly, Morning After.